Mark, the 8th chapter, verse 27. If you have that, say amen. Verse 27. The Bible said, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist. Or some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Isn't that a wonderful question tonight? Whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Whom do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, Lord. And some said Elijah, one of the prophets. But Christ wanted to know, who does his disciples think that he is? And I want to ask us tonight as I preach on who is Jesus to you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you and praise you. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for another opportunity to preach your gospel. Certainly our lips are not worthy to carry this gospel. And Father, this vessel is not worthy to carry the Holy Ghost, but you saw fit to wash us in the blood, cleanse our hearts and our lives, and we can be tabernacles of you, dwelling and breathing through us. And Father, that's what we pray tonight, that you tabernacle yourself tonight in this word. Walk up and down these aisles, touch us and strengthen us, Lord. Give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech, clarity of mind, Father, that we'd say nothing more, nothing less than what the Holy Ghost would have us say, Lord, and that we'd leave here tonight different than we came. And a lot of good people said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And he saith unto them, and that's who he's saying it to tonight, he's saying it to me. Whom do men say that? Always talking about whom other men say. And then he says, who do you say I am? And I love Peter. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. Amen. Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, but you know, their answer really wasn't what he was concerned about. He began to talk to them. And he wanted them to see who he was. Amen. He wants us to know who he is tonight. You see, when Jesus started ministering, he ministered with such an anointing that it brought him distinction. And I don't want you to fall out with me, but the anointing made a name for him. He was not anointed. He was not named for his money. He was not named for his prestige. He was known for the anointing of God that was upon him. When he was born, he was simply called Jesus. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And they called him the carpenter's son. But after the baptism in the Jordan River, his inauguration, up until he was lifted up on the cross, he was perpetually referred to as Christ Jesus, or Christ, Jesus Christ. And sometimes called Jesus the Christ. The Christos, the Chrisma, the anointed one. The thing that gave him distinction was the power and the anointing that was upon his life. And this is what Peter is saying. You are the anointed one. There's none other besides you. You are the anointed one. Outwardly, he appeared no different than any other man. He didn't look like a prophet. He didn't look like a tough guy. He was so ordinary that when they went to crucify him, that Judas had to point him out for them just so they would know who he was. His glory was not in the physical. His glory was in the supernatural. When he spoke, demons trembled. When he spoke, the raging tide ceased. He could speak to a storm and the storm would be placed to a whisper and without screaming into the night, because Jesus was God. Say amen, somebody. He could stop down by the tomb of Gadara and spoke to a man who was possessed by a legion of devils, and he said, go, and they went. He touched the casket. He spoke to a dead boy and commanded him to get up, and he got up. He broke up a funeral down at Jairus' house and came in, and he spoke to Jairus' daughter and said, Talitha Kuma. And he didn't have to interpret because death knew. He said, damsel, arise. I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome tonight. He stood at the door of a tomb without going in the tomb, without going into the stinky stuff. He just spoke through it. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, a dead man, came leaping out of the tomb. Jesus was awesome. You see, Jesus didn't fit in. He was different everywhere he went. Peer pressure had no effect on him. He didn't care anything about being one of the boys. People wondered how he could do what he was doing without an education, without proper training, without having gone to seminaries, without having language classes, and they wondered how he could do this. But you must understand that everything the church is, Christ created it. The church is nothing without its head. It's righteous tonight, but it's with His righteousness. It's holy tonight, but it's with His holiness. Hey, He is God, and He that dwells in the house is greater than the house. The temple was many years in building, and it came to an end. But Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. He'll be here tomorrow because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The temple was full of instruction. It was full of types. It was full of shadows. Oh, but Christ was the substance because He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He was more than type. He was more than shadow. He was the real thing denied. In many places, Christ is no more than a symbol. All hell, the power of Jesus' name is the church's theme, and the cross is her official flag. But day by day, and week by week, and month by month, He's not the one that's dictating their moves. He's not the one telling them and making decisions in their lives. The church class or Christian, but Christ is not making the decisions. We're living in a Christless society and calling ourselves Christians. But hey, if God's not in the house, it's not the house of God. If Christ is not in your heart, you're not a Christian tonight. We've got to have more than a profession. We've got to have a deep down rooted, seated possession of the power of God in our lives. The world is a sick, perverted view, tolerant, blind, ignorant, sensual, long-haired, effeminate sissy. Jesus was not weak. He was the most powerful man that ever lived. The Revelator said His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass that burned in a furnace. And His voice was as a sound of many waters. The Bible said that He had seven stars in His right hand. He had His hand is so big, He could hold seven stars. He could hold them all. But I'm just giving you a picture tonight. Seven stars in His right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword went out of His mouth, and His countenance was as the sun shining in His strength. And John said, when I saw Him, I fell down at His feet as dead. Does that sound like some effeminate homosexual to you? No. He was powerful. He was Christ the Anointed. You've got to understand that Jesus, He didn't stop living when He died on the cross. He's no longer the Son of Man. He is completely the Son of God. He won't be tied to a whipping post. There'll be no tears in the eyes of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There'll be no more crown of thorns. No more nails in His hands. No more nails in His feet. He's alive tonight. Somebody say He's alive. The blood hasn't lost its power. The Holy Ghost has not lost its power. The name of Jesus hasn't lost its power. The Holy Ghost is still here tonight. Hey, and John said, I fell as a dead man. No wonder, because of His glory and His splendor and the awesomeness of Christ. And He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. No wonder they fell at His feet as a dead man. Bible is still full of the power of God unto salvation. It still works tonight. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Seven stars in his hand. The government upon his shoulder. I don't feel like going into all of it, but his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. You need counsel tonight. He's a counselor tonight. Amen, bro. And it's a talk 30 minutes just to find out where you're at. The Lord knows exactly where you're at. Brother Lamb has to feel sometimes for weeks to find where you're at. Christ says, come in here, son. I've done been called. I know exactly where you're at because he's wonderful and he is a counselor tonight. He is the mighty God. The Bible said he's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A saints of God, when I was lost, I did everything in my power to tangle and to wreck and to destroy my life. Youthful lusts were choking me out. I put myself in compromising situations that should have killed me. I lived and loved the devil. I was a hell-bent soul on my way to hell. But Jesus waded through my problems. He left the 99 and he came looking for David Lamb. And in my mess and in my sin, he said, that's all right, you'll not defile me. My blood will wash your sins away and I'll make you holy. The night that I got saved, I was 18, running wild and wicked. I was drunk. I had my head hanging out the passenger side window of a Chevy S10 pickup truck. The rain was beating down on my face. I couldn't see. Everything was a blur. I didn't know Greek or Hebrew. I didn't know what a Strong's Concordance was. And I didn't know what the pulpit commentary or the preacher's homiletic was. Barely could find the book of Ephesians. I didn't know anything about the doctrine of eschatology or gerontology, hermeneutics, apologetics. I didn't know anything about exegesis. All I knew was I was a sinner. And I was tired of the mess that I was in. But you see, Greek and Hebrew doesn't really matter when the fingers of God come into your life and untangle the mess that you're in. It doesn't matter what you know. It matters who you know. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're going through. It may look like it's a dead end, but the hand of God will untangle. I said the hand of God will untangle. He'll pull you apart and he'll put you back together just like you're supposed to be. Somebody say, Jesus. Herod tried to kill him. The people tried to stone him. They tried to throw him over a cliff. They did crucify him. Hanging on a cross on Mount Calvary, he died. Brother Dustin, please get my handkerchief out of my coat pocket. He died until the sun quit shining. He died until the earth began to shake. He died until the veil of the temple was rent in twain. He died until Jerusalem spit up the dead. And they walked through and they said, how you doing, Grandma? Waiting on Jesus because he's the first fruit of the resurrection. I said he died. He died until a centurion said, surely this is the Son of Man. We've got to have somebody here tonight that'll say, surely he's the Son of God. Surely he's my Redeemer.
I may be down, but I'm not out. Why? Because Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Is your marriage in trouble? Jesus lives. Is your home in trouble? Jesus lives. Is your work in trouble? Jesus lives. Is the church in trouble? Somebody say Jesus.
Amen. He went into the heart of the earth. I got a lot of preaching to do tonight, so you may not want to go too quick. I want to talk about Jesus tonight. Went down into the heart of the earth, down into the prison house, and the Bible said he preached to the spirits. We talk about Elijah, we talk about Enoch never dying. The saints of God, they only escaped death. Christ walked in the death's living room, and he did what no ever man ever did. He whipped the enemy on his own home court, and he took the keys of death and hell away from him. They put him in a tomb, and all they managed to do was put a rock inside of a rock. There was rock under the rock. There was rock over the rock. There was rock all around the rock. And they wrote another rock in front of the door to keep the rock in. But listen, their rock is not like our rock. The angels throw the stone away, but not to let Jesus out, but to let Mary in. He done slipped out the back door and said, I've got some business to take care of down in death's living room. And like Samson, Jesus did more damage to the enemy in his death than he did in his life. With his hands and feet nailed to a rugged cross, he defeated more enemies than all the Pharaohs, all the Caesars, all the Napoleons combined. Hey! He walked up the hill of Calvary. He was the offering, and he was the offerer, and went back to glory and received the offering. Ain't nobody can do you like Jesus can do you. Statistics say that there is a 1 in 100 million billion of a chance of one person completing, fulfilling only 8 messianic prophecies. I don't even know how many zeros that is. I didn't even try to figure out how many zeros that was. Are you hearing me? A 1 in 100 million billion of a chance for any one person to fulfill even 8 of the messianic prophecies. Jesus fulfilled nearly every single one of them. The only ones he's not fulfilled is those of the coming of Christ. 109 distinct different prophecies that one man fulfilled, and it's a 1 in 100 million billionth of a chance to fulfill 8. You listen to me, a bunch of devils out there. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Lord of Lords, undisputed champion. Let the spirits say what they want. Let the demons cry what they want. But when it all comes down, they'll say, don't torment me before my time. Jesus is King of Kings tonight. Let the false prophets say what they will. He is Almighty Son of God. He is Almighty God the Son. He was an earthly child of a heavenly father. He was a heavenly child of an earthly mother. If men had arranged his birthplace, they would have prepared him a royal crib, but God prepared him a feed trough. Men might have provided silken clothes, silken robes, but God chose the swaddling clothes of a poor peasant. Men might have selected choice perfumes. They might have gave him spices, but God came in the malodors of a stable. I want you to think tonight, the Prince of Glory couldn't find room in a Bethlehem boarding house. The King of Kings, a carpenter's son. Oh, what a rebuke to our pride, that he who was so rich became so poor, and us that are so poor act like that we are so rich. He was the bread of life, yet he hungered for 40 days. He offered the water of life, but he himself said, I thirst. He could still a raging sea, or he could bless a small child. He could preach to multitudes, or pull a woman to herself at the well down there and preach to her.
He wrote no books, but ever since he lived, the presses have been ground out libraries about him. He founded no colleges that the world scholarship said never spake a man like this man spake. He led no army, but he has been a spiritual captain of more soldiers than ever followed the Caesars, ever followed the Napoleon. Somebody say amen. He did not bother with politics. He upset every government. He upset every army that ever rejected him. He's a smiting stone that will smash the last world empire. He had no money, but all charitable institutes, they look back to him as their inspiration. Ingersoll found no orphanages. Thomas Paine, he didn't provide no homes for the aged. But Jesus Christ, oh, the lover of my soul, the great God of heaven. I need your help tonight, Holy Ghost. He could stop a funeral procession and raise the dead. But nobody stopped his when he carried his own deathbed in the form of a cross. He laid aside a crown and glory. And all that earth gave him was a diadem of thorns. His hands touched feverish brows and made the sick well again. And our hands slapped his face until his countenance was marred. He spat on the ground and made clay. So blind that eyes could see, that we spat in his face. We spat in his eyes until he could hardly see. We're sometimes good, and if we're not careful, often bad. But he is always good. He is the crystal Christ. He's the bright and morning star. He has all the virtues of the best men without any other vices. And we're forced to say with Pilate tonight, I find no fault in him. He is the spotless lamb. He is without blemish. And you're going to walk around this lamb all you want. There'll not be one thing out of place because he is perfect. For 2,000 years, men have been trying to destroy his character. Yet they are gone. And he stands like the rock of Gibraltar in his character. The old atheist Voltaire said in 100 years, the name of Christ will be forever forgotten. But Christ lives on. And Voltaire's name is known by few. And the very place that he spoke them words is now a Bible warehouse. Somebody hear me tonight? Amen. Thomas Paine, I learned about him in high school. He wrote that pamphlet, that treatise there, whatever it was, The Age of Reason. And he argued against Christ. But in 1609, he died a drunkard's death while Christ marches on. I was reading about a man named Charles Bradlaugh of England. A wealthy atheist who uses money in an effort to destroy men's faith. But on a cold, gray November morning, he was buried without a prayer. He was buried without a song, without a word of eulogy. But tonight, saints of God, Christ lives on. In our own country, Robert Ingersoll, a flaming orator, he scoffed at Christ and the church. But today, his name is faded like a grass of the field. But Christ is still reigning omnipotent, a king of kings. Every attempt to destroy the character of Christ has failed. His critics go down to dusky death while he lives on, not in temples of wood, not in temples of stone, but in the hearts of men and women, just like you and I tonight. He is as far above all his critics as the heavens is above the earth. He is the one great stainless character of all the ages. You want a hero tonight? Let Jesus be your hero. You want somebody to look like and live like? Let it be Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned about Michael Jordan and somebody's out there in the world. Let's live like Jesus. Let's let him be our hero tonight. When you say, I want, what you want to do when you grow up? I say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Christ in my life. In Kentucky, a lot of folk won't read the Old Testament. They say that Jesus is not in the Old Testament. And so a lot of them will only read the New Testament. I know one man that will not read the Gospels. He says they were to the Jews. But I'd like to tell that man tonight that I don't need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to preach the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
I don't need the book of Acts. I don't need the epistles. I don't need the poetry of Job, Ecclesiastes, or the Song of Solomon to preach about Jesus. Jesus is in every book. He's in every page. I feel like preaching tonight. I really do. And I hope you feel like being preached to. He's in every line in that King James Bible. Now the Muslims try and convince us that they believe in the Pentateuch or the Torah. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They try to say that they believe that they are inspired by God. And they've placed them in the Quran. Yet they say that Jesus is no Messiah. And they say He's a prophet and even less than Muhammad. Well, I come to tell somebody tonight that He was there in the Old Testament. And He was much more than John the Baptist. He was much more than Elijah. And He was much more than any prophet that ever thought about being. If you look, you will find Him. He was there in the coats of skin that covered Adam. You'll find Him in the blood of Abel who was slain, because God said to Cain, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." You will see Him in the face of Moses, who was sent as a deliverer, who went down to Egypt to Pharaoh, and He said, "Let my people go." There you'll find Him in the blood that was splashed on the doorposts of the Israelites' houses on the night of the Exodus. God said, "And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." You'll find Him in the meal offering. He was the bread of life. You'll find Him in the wave offering. He was offered as the representative of the church. You'll find Him in the drink offering. He was poured out that I could be poured into. You'll find Him in the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's my Passover. He's my tabernacle. He's my outer court, my inner court. Hey, He's my Holy of Holies. He's my dove offering, my table of shewbread. He's my door. He said, "I am the door, and if any man come unto the Father, he'll come by me." He's the candlesticks that lit the way into the Holy of Holies. He lit the way so I could go through the veil of the temple and enter into the presence of God. He's the golden altar which John said stood by above before God. The gold in the temple stood for His divinity. The shittim wood for His humanity. He is the veil, because when they pierced His side, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. I know He's the veil, because He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me." Hey, I entered through Jesus and got into the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Amen. Amen. He's the Ark of the Covenant. I said He's the Ark of the Covenant. His flesh, the humanity in the wood. The gold was His divinity covering His humanity. The gold on the inside suggesting that Christ, that God was within Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He is Aaron's rod that budded, my high priest that brought life out of death. He's my pot of manna tonight. Every other pot of manna perished the day after. But He said, "I am the true bread that cometh down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he will never die." Hallelujah. I'm having fun tonight. He's my ark of the testimony. He is my fulfilled law. He is my legality. Incidentally, He is my Sabbath. I say He's my Sabbath because when I get into Him, I find rest from all my labors. How many needs rest tonight? Where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the Shekinah glory. He's the cloud by day, and He's fire by night. Hey, He's taking care of me. He's my brazen serpent. I've been bitten by sin and would have died. When I looked unto Jesus, I was healed. If I be lifted up, I will draw men
unto me. He was the tree that was thrown into the bitter waters of Marah. You see, when I was lost, my life was bitter. But thanks to a wooden tree on the hill of Golgotha, it came into my life. Things are now sweet. I said, things are now sweet. Not always the best, but they're always sweet. Because Jesus is in me.
That was smitten on the cross, spoken to in the resurrection, whose gushing waters has quenched my thirsty soul. How do you know that? Sister Lamb, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers, somebody say rivers of living water. He is my light. His body is my bread. His blood is my wine. And John said he was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see Jesus in the flood. We see Him on Mount Moriah when Abraham went to sacrifice His only Son. We see Him in the salvation of the Red Sea crossing. He is Job's daysman. Who is Jesus to you tonight? What is He to you tonight? If you're lost, He's a Savior. If you came and you need help with God to get your sins out, His blood will sanctify you. Do you need the Holy Ghost tonight? He's the Holy Ghost baptizer. Who is Jesus to you tonight?
Amen. Blessing God.
In Genesis, He's a seed of woman. Exodus, He's my Redeemer. Leviticus, He's my sacrificial lamb. In the book of Numbers, He's our star of the night. Deuteronomy said He's the Lord of lords. Joshua, He's the destroyer of those walls in my life. In Judges, He becomes my deliverer. In Ruth, He's my kinsman redeemer tonight. In 1 Samuel, He's the Lord of hosts. In 2 Samuel, He becomes my fortress. In 1 Kings, He's a greater one than Solomon. In 2 Kings, He's my chariot of fire. That's going to take me away after a while. In Nehemiah, He's the builder up of my walls. In Esther, He's the one that stands in the gap for me. In Psalms, He's my cornerstone. In Song of Solomon, somebody say Rose of Sharon. Hey, in Isaiah, He's the arm of the Lord. Jeremiah said He's the Lord of righteousness. Daniel said He's the Messiah. Ezekiel said He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Haggai said He's the desire of all nations. And Zechariah called Him my king. Malachi said He's a messenger of a better covenant. Amen. Matthew said Emmanuel. Mark said Holy One of God. Luke said Consolation of Israel. John said Door and Good Shepherd. Acts said He's the Holy One and the Lord of all. Romans said He's my deliverer. Corinthians said He's the second Adam and He is our rock. Galatians said He's my justifier. Ephesians said He's my chief cornerstone. Philippians said to live is Christ and to die is gain. Colossians, He said He's the head of the church. Thessalonians said He's a rapturing Savior. Timothy said He's King of Kings. Oh yes, Titus said Lord and Savior. Philemon said Giver of Gifts. Hebrews said Author and Finisher of our faith. James said Lord of Glory. Peter called Him our Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. John said He was our Advocate. And Jude said He's our Preserver. Revelator said He's Alpha and He's Omega. He's the first, the last. He's the beginning and the end. And He said, Amen. 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 What is Jesus? I know you don't like preaching on Jesus. And I couldn't think of anything better to preach on tonight. What is He to you? Who do you say I am? Stand with me across the house. Who do you say He's all things to all men. He will either be Lord of all or Lord not at all. Bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit, we come to you asking to sweep across this house. Great God and Father, we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. If it were not for Jesus, we would not be in service tonight. There would be no preaching, there'd be no altar call, no music, no songs of Zion. There'd be no fellowship of the brethren. There'd be no love. There'd be no light, there'd be no salt. Nothing but dull, bleak darkness. Father, I thank you that you so love this old wretched man that you would give your only begotten Son. Father, my prayer is tonight that this congregation gets a picture of who we call our Lord, who we call our God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Would you worship him for a moment? I feel the Holy Ghost powerfully tonight. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, what did you come needing tonight? Did you come needing lifted up? He's a lifter of my soul. Did you come with your back against the wall? He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll turn it around for you. Yeah.